Amen. Scripture lesson has already been read by Reverend Hilton, rather lengthy. Genesis chapter 12. I want to talk about, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Abram, father of our faith, he's 75 years old. He's married to a woman named Sarah. They have no children. His father's name, Terah. He was born in Ur of the Chaldees. He has two other brothers. One of his brother, Haran, died while they yet lived in Ur. And for some strange reason, Abram's father left Ur and wanted to take his family to Canaan. But he only got halfway to Haran. How many know that many of us just get halfway to our dreams? He wanted to go to Canaan, but Terah got to Haran. And the Bible doesn't say how long he stayed there, but he died there. And when he died, he was 205 years old. He had these three sons. One's dead, but Abram is still alive. And so God talks to Abram. Abram hears this voice. And it's an amazing thing because there is no Christianity at this time. There are other gods. There are other religions that people worship. But somehow God spoke to Abram and said, Abram, get out. I want you to leave your family and leave your people, and I want you to go to the land that I will show you. He doesn't tell him where he's going. He doesn't say, I want you to go to New York City. He doesn't say, I want you to go to California. He doesn't say, I want you to go to Canaan. He just says, get out, get up, get out. Leave your family, take your wife and a few others, and go to where I will show you. I mean, you know, it's hard to leave when you get 75 years old. To pull up stakes, to leave your family, to leave your surrounding, to leave your community. And not only that, to go to wherever I will show you. Abram leaves his family. Now, sometimes it's not hard to leave your family. Now, sometimes it's not hard to leave your cousins, your brothers, and your aunts, and your sisters who always want to borrow something. But he goes, and God, while God is talking to him, God not only tells him to leave, but God talks to him, and God gives him a vision of his future. And God says, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless thee. And those who bless you, I will bless. And those who curse you, I will curse. And all the families of the earth will be blessed by you. Now, mind you, Abram is 75 with a barren wife, and God is telling him that he's going to give him all these children and to go to this land that he will show him. Pick up everything, call the U-Haul, and let's move. I'll make you a great person. Your name will be great. Your name will be better than E.F. Hutton. Your name will be better than Barack Obama. You will be a great person. You will have many children. You will be great. So Abram tells Sarah, pack the bags. We're moving. Sarah doesn't argue. You know how it is, brothers. It's not just about what you say. I gotta do all the packing. You're not gonna do anything. My grandkids are here. I am not moving to Atlanta. You can take the midnight train if you want to. I'm staying. But Abram takes Sarai and he takes Lot, because Lot's father, Haran, had died. So Abram takes his nephew, and his nephew, Lot, goes with them with his wife. And he takes whatever sheep and animals and some of the maids, he takes them with him, and he goes on this journey. Because he sees this wonderful vision about his future. He sees that he's going to be a great person. He sees that he's going to have great children. He sees that he's going to be a great man. He sees the promise. How many of you know the promise without the promiser is nothing? He's excited about the promise because he's acquainted with the promiser, because he knows that the promiser is faithful to his word. And if his promiser says that you will be this great person, that promiser is God Almighty. There's nothing worse than making a promise and then breaking a promise. And once you and I have broken a promise to our loved one, our wives, our spouses, whatever, it may take you a lifetime to restore trust. Do I have a witness in the house? Because they may never trust you again, and you got to work harder and harder and harder to regain that trust. But in this case, it was God speaking. It's the one who created the heavens and the earth. The one who put the stars in the sky. The one who scooped out of the earth and made the oceans. The one who put the moon in the place. The one who put the sun in the place. In this case, it was God who talked to Abram and said, get up, get out, leave your father, and go. And he depended and he trusted on the promise. Abram, I can imagine every night Abram would be dreaming, one day I'm going to be a great man. One day he look at Sarah and say, one day we're going to have kids. Sarah said, yeah, right. One day, I can imagine Abram say, one day we're going to this place. We're gonna be great. We're gonna be rich. We're gonna be awesome. Sarah, come on, pack, baby. You look good. Come on, we're gonna have kids. So he goes out and he's walking, and I don't know how long it took him to get down. He goes to this place. God doesn't. They don't have GPS. God is a GPS. He leads him. He guides him. He takes him to this place. It just happens to be Canaan. And once Abram gets there, God says, look around. I have given this place to you. Look at those mountains over there. They're yours. Look at those grapes over there. They're yours. Look at those high rises over there. They're headed. They're yours. Look at that farm over there. Look at those cattle over there. They're yours. But there's only one problem. The land is occupied. And I can imagine Abraham saying, hey, remember when you told me to get out from my father's house and go to this place you're going to show me? And I got all excited about it, God. You didn't tell me it was occupied. You didn't tell me there were Canaanites in the land. You didn't tell me there were giants in the land. Why didn't you tell me? I can imagine God said, because if I had told you, you would have wimped out. If I would have told you, you would have missed some blessings. If I would have told you, you would have thought that it depended all on you. And it doesn't depend on you. It depends on me. So if I tell you to get up and go, don't you worry about it being occupied. Just go where I tell you. Just do what I tell you. Just depend on me.
So Abram goes down there with his wife. The Bible says that Sarah was, I think Sarah was 10 years younger than Abram. And if he was 75, I'm not much of a mathematician, but I think that means she was 65. And the Bible says she was a beautiful woman. At 65, she still had everything together. So Abram gets over to the place where God would take him, found out that this place is the same place that God had been dealing with his father with, you know. And, you know, anytime your father in your father's house, you hear your father's dream. And his father, Terah, had only got halfway to where he wanted to go. But Abram probably had heard his father talk about Canaan land. And lo and behold, the Lord leads him to this same place. And he says, this is the place that I've been taught. This is the place that I talked to you about years ago. And here you are. It's yours. It's occupied. But don't you worry about it. Abram gets down there. He sees this great place. But when he gets there, there's a famine in the land. Nice city, but a depression. Ain't no jobs, ain't no money. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I can imagine, if I had been Abram, I'd say, why didn't you tell me? Lord, I've been dreaming about leaving Campobello, South Carolina, and going up to Hackensack, New Jersey. Lord, I've been sleepless nights. I thought about hearing the big lights of Hackensack, and I heard there's a church up there. I've been dreaming. Why you tell me there ain't nobody in the church? Why you tell me that I had to work so hard to fill it up? I thought when I got there, everything would be together. How many know God doesn't tell us everything? Because he wants us to lean on him. He doesn't always fix all the problems. Do I have a witness in the house? He doesn't always. He said, you want this? It's yours. But you got to work for it. You want to be a doctor? Take your tail to class. You want to be a teacher? You got to study. You want to get married? You're going to have to go through some stuff. I can imagine some of you right now that's married, you probably saying, why'd you tell me? If I had known this. And this, by the way, this is in the text too. This is in the text. About this marriage thing. It's right here in the text. Abram and Sarah. Abram is a man of faith. Because he crosses over. He finally gets into Canaan. First thing he does, what? He builds an altar to God. He gets a shechem. He builds an altar. He's a man of faith. He's also a man of influence. He's 75 years old. He tells Sarai, his wife, that they're going to pick up and go to a land that he doesn't know what. And guess what? He's taking his nephew Lot with him. He's a man of influence. Any woman that will follow her husband at 75 years old to move the whole family, look at somebody and say, that brother got influence. Abram is a man of faith. When God tells him, go to where that I will show you, and he goes anyway at 75. He had faith in God. He's a man of faith. He's a man of prayer. He's a man of influence. He's a man of God. Who wouldn't want to marry a cat like that? But Abram was flawed. He gets over into the promised land. He recognizes and realizes the land is occupied. And the second thing he realizes is there's a famine in the land. And then, because there's a famine in the land, he takes his family down to Egypt. Many of you are here in North New Jersey because you left Jamaica and you left South Carolina and you left Virginia and you left somewhere because there was a famine in the land. And you came up here looking for a job. A whole lot of people that left Mexico, they come across the border because what? There's a famine in the land over there. So the same thing happens today. And then he gets down to Canaan and there's a famine in the land. And so he takes his wife and he goes down to Egypt. You imagine Sarah, she said, oh boy, I got me a good man. Oh, I got me a good man now. I got me a man of faith. He leads prayer meeting everywhere tonight. I mean, I got a good man. He goes to church every Sunday. He pays his tithes. I got a good man. He listens to the voice of God. He talks to God on a regular basis. I got a good man. So when Abram takes his wife down to Egypt, he says to her, now listen, you're a fine woman. You are beautiful. I mean, I know you're 65, but baby, you look like you're 35. You are beautiful. You are 12 on a 10 scale. What woman wouldn't like to hear that? Look at somebody and say, so far he's doing fine. So far he's doing good. He knows what to say, and he really means it. But then he says, this is when he messes up. When those Egyptians see you, they will recognize that you are a beautiful woman. And they will kill me and take you. So when they come, tell them that you are my sister and not my wife. Now, I have to tell you, that is really a half-truth, because Sarah really is his half. So he ain't really lying. He's just not telling the whole truth. Anybody ever been there? And nothing but the truth. Because Sarah back then, you know, cousins and nieces and nephews, they married each other. You read over there in Genesis chapter 20, and you will find out that Sarah really was his half-sister. So, now, here's the other thing is, Sarai did not say a word. Now, can you imagine some of you sisters right now? Somebody tell you, you know, when so-and-so comes, just tell them, I can just hear, Negro. Unsanctified imagination. So Sarai goes along, and sure enough, the Pharaoh, he didn't have eHarmony back then. He didn't have Christian Mingle back then. But he did have some group that were looking out for beautiful women that might be a part of his harem. And sure enough, they saw Sarai and they took the word back to Pharaoh and said, hey, there's a woman. I'm telling you, she is fine. You need to have her, old Pharaoh, live forever. Sure enough, Sarai goes along. Pharaoh takes her in. Then Pharaoh, back then, you know, they paid a dowry for the wife, or your wife. If you really wanted to marry somebody, the best thing you could do was get close to the father. And if the father was dead, you want to get close to the brother. And so since
Abram said that Sarai was his sister, the Pharaoh started sending him gifts. Sent him camels, donkeys. And back then, sending a camel was like sending a Ferrari. Two of them, a red one and a yellow one. And so you're in deep over your head. You can't get this woman back now. He's paid too much for you. Your lie has gotten you in big trouble. Anybody ever been in a situation where your lie has got you in trouble and got you betwixt and between, and there's no way out? And that's just the way the predicament of this faithful praying man was, named Abram. He was a praying man, but he was flawed.
Look at your neighbor right next to you and say, I know you flawed too. Man or woman.
You got your nice hairdo, your nice dress on, and Lord knows you got those heels on, but you're flawed. And you and I need the grace of God, because Abram was in a predicament. Modern day woman would have walked out on him.
It looked like the marriage was over. Look at somebody, it looked like it was over. I can imagine old Abram saying, why didn't you tell me?
Why didn't you tell me that I was going to have to take my wife and my family down into Egypt? Why didn't you tell me I was going to whip out on my wife?
I can imagine God said, if I'd have told you, you never would have been the father of nations. If I'd have told you, you probably wouldn't have married Sarah. Look at somebody and tell them, you know, there are blessings as well as setbacks in relationships. I don't care how holy he or she claims to be, there's some flaw in there somewhere. Deacon McCall used to say, you know, everybody's got a skeleton in their closet and somebody's got the key. So here was Abram. He becomes selfish. Can you imagine? He only thinking about the fact that he might get killed.
Never mind the mental anguish that Sarah might go through. Never mind what's going on in her mind, that he betrayed her and sold her, if you and gave her away. Not even sold her, he gave her away without a fight.
He only looked at himself. He lied, and then he forgot the promise.
Not only did he forget the promise, he forgot the promiser. And if he remembered the promiser, when he said, well, why didn't you tell me? I think God would have said, I don't have to tell you.
All I want you to know that I will be with you. I want you to know that when the famine comes, I'll be with you.
I want you to know that even though the land is occupied by the Canaanites, I'll be with you. I want you to know that even though you got to go down to Egypt and you got to deal with Pharaoh, I will be with you. Fact of the matter is, Abram, I want you to check yourself out.
You lied, but I still kept you.
You betrayed your wife, but I still kept you. You went down into Egypt. You ain't had nothing. But when you came out, you had cattle and donkeys and camels and manservants and maidservants. You thought it was a bad situation. Boy, I made you rich in a starving land. And you ought to give me some praise. And when you look back over your life, it wasn't as bad as you thought it was. It was, you asked me, why didn't I tell you? Because if I told you, you wouldn't be who you are today. I made you, I mold you, I kept you, I shaped you. Give him some glory today. If he had told you all that you have been through, you probably would have said, Lord, I don't want to go.
But because you didn't tell me everything, He just told me, go. Get up and go. The rest will be explained to you on the way. In fact, you ain't able, you're not ready to handle this right now. And Lord knows, can you imagine if the Lord had told Sarai? Sarai's looking at him and said, oh boy, he's so fine. Bible doesn't say that about Abram, by the way. It just says he was faithful. He might have been ugly. It says that Sarai was fine. But can you imagine if she had known? Now, he was rich on the outside. He was rich. He had cattle and sheep and all that kind of stuff. But Sarai was living in the palace, in luxury, in misery. How many of you know that you can have stuff and still be miserable? Somebody sitting out there said, just give me some stuff. Give me some of that. Give me one of those five-bedroom, paid-for mansions in Paramus or whatever. I still got stuff in the projects. So if I got to have stuff, let me. But the fact of the matter is, Sarai was, there were two kinds of rich. She was rich in the palace, and he was rich out of the palace, but they both was miserable. But the Lord protected them. The Lord offered them grace. How many of you know that in every relationship, you better have some grace? I don't know. I don't know when the fall is coming. I don't know when the fallout is coming. But I know something. You've been married 30 years, 35 years. Somebody has messed up somewhere along the line. Don't tell me about it. It ain't nobody else's business. But look at somebody and say, thank God for grace. And I'm not talking about a woman named Grace. I'm talking about grace that woke you up this morning. Grace that gave you a second chance. Grace that God looked beyond your fault. Grace that kept you in your right mind. Grace that kept Sarah in her right mind. Grace that kept Abram in his right mind when he blew it. And I'm grateful that the promiser keeps his promise. So when you're going through your down your valley, when you're going through all your heartache and all your hell, sit down, shut up, listen, and remember the promise. How many of you know the vision can help you to get through? How many of you know that when it's not going the way, when you got to deal with the Canaanites, when you got to recognize and realize that there are Canaanites in the land, remember the vision. And when you remember the vision, remember who gave you the vision. And remember, when you at your extremity, it's God's opportunity. Remember the vision. He said, I'll make you a great man. I'll make you a great nation. You're going to have some great kids. You're going to have some kids that not only play the drum, they're going to be great coaches. They're going to be great kids. They're going to be great fathers. I'm still waiting on that. They're going to be great parents. They're going to do great things. Isn't that what every parent, they want their kids to do great things for the kingdom. They're going to be men and women of faith. They're going to go to church. They're going to worship God. They're going to have values. They're going to have principles. But even in all that, Jackson, you remember, even though you're a preacher, there will be flaws. And the one thing that I like about Abram, even though he was flawed, even though he was caught in a mess, he kept on going. You can't quit just because you're flawed. You can't quit because your wife ain't speaking to you today. You can't quit. You got to pray. You got to keep moving forward because the Lord did not bring you this far to dump you. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. He said, I have shown you a vision. Get up. Get out, even though they're Canaanites, I will be with you. And don't you forget it. Don't you ever forget that. If everybody else walks out on you, I will never leave you.